LD 845, it proposes to change from Class C to Class B the classification of the lower Androscoggin River from the Ruombo Dam in Lisbon Falls to a line formed by the extension of the Bath-Brunswick boundary across Merry Meeting Bay. I've provided there a general summary of Maine law regarding water quality classification standards. That's what this bill deals with. There are four classes for freshwater rivers. In the higher classes, the law places more restrictions on human activities. More allowances for human activities are allowed in the classes B and C. Designated uses and criteria for classifications. The classification system establishes the designated uses and the related characteristics of those uses for each class of water, and also establishes water quality criteria that are necessary to protect those. Designated uses are those uses specified in water quality standards for each body of water. I've attached a DEP document that lists the designated uses and criteria for each classification, and I'll just say that that is an old sheet, but I think it's still correct. You've heard about Maine's anti-degradation policy, which the federal law requires states to adopt a statewide anti-degradation policy. And in general, that policy provides that in existing in-stream water uses and the level of water quality necessary to protect those existing uses have to be maintained. When the actual water quality exceeds the minimum standards of the next highest classification, that higher water classification has to be maintained. There's some information here on the history of the reclassification of the lower Androscoggin. During the 2008 reclass process, the Friends of Merry Meeting Bay proposed a reclass from Class C to B to the Board of Environmental Protection. The board did not recommend that upgrade. So during the 124th, when the legislature was reviewing the reclassification proposals adopted by the board, suggestion was again brought to the legislature, and the legislature did not enact that, but in that legislation they included a directive to the department to conduct water quality sampling for that portion of the lower Androscoggin to see if it could reasonably be expected to meet the criteria classification for moving from Class C to Class B. Due to rainfall and high flows, the department reported to, at that time, the NAC committee that it was unable to acquire that data, and the committee requested the department to continue its work during the summer of 2010. During the 125th legislature, the department came back with a modeling report and reported to the committee that during those surveys, there was not sufficient data to support that upgrade. During the 125th legislature, LD 154, which is the same bill as this bill, was reported out of committee, ought not to pass. And finally, fiscal impact for this bill has not yet been determined.
Yes, Representative.
Based on what just heard,
the fact that I am well above my pay grade, it just doesn't appear to be any data that would justify this committee or the legislature upgrading. As I understand it, there are tributaries above that sort of determine the quality, and without doing something to that, apparently, with the studies and the continued effort to respond to the interest, it just doesn't appear that there's anything justifies that. So I would move on not to pass.
Motion ought not to pass, and a second discussion. Yes, Representative Cooper.
I don't remember hearing any testimony, and maybe you can enlighten me, Susan, about why the proponents think it is important to change the rating. What difference will it make as far as use or activities along the river?
They want to change from a Class C to a Class B. So, looking at the difference is... I'm looking at the chart.
Yeah, me too. Only thing I can see is that discharges in a Class C can cause some changes to aquatic life, whereas in B they can't.
I see that as well. And I think there also, there was some testimony that once it's moved to a Class B, it can't be, the inputs into discharges to that water can't bring it down to a Class C.
So
this would be a way of keeping it up higher.
So it would put limitations on discharges in order to maintain that level. Thank you.
Yes, Representative McAllen.
Yeah, the what strikes me about what I recall of the testimony about this is we have a citizens group that is advocating for the upgrade of the river. And they have done water sample collection. They have some data. They have test results. We have the department with its own methodology, its own data. And then we have people who have a, let's be honest, a financial interest in keeping the rating of this river low. This strikes me as a place that we need to bring a group of citizens, the Department of Environmental Protection, together to talk to each other to say, let's agree upon a methodology, an approach that we can collectively do together. We're not doing this competing test results and competing methodology and models, but rather that collaboration is really important, especially in light of the fact that there are a number of enterprises that have a financial interest at keeping this rating low. I can't see where legislation at this point can solve the gap between a group of citizens and the Department of Environmental Protection. I've been involved myself, you know, with a river situation, and I know the only hope is when there is a collective and collaborative effort versus competing numbers, competing science, and all the rest. So I wonder in this case if we cannot specifically request of the department that they sit down and meet with this group, that they come back with an agreed-upon methodology and approach to basically the consideration of this, you know, reclassification in, you know, within some time period.
I have some responses to that, but maybe I should wait and let other members. Representative Chipman, did you want to?
Just wanted to ask if we could just have a couple of minutes to corner caucus about this. Is that possible? Sure. Okay.
Having been a member of the 124th and the 125th, I think we did try and do that because there were competing tests that were going on. And that's why if you see in Susan's analysis here that DEP did go out and we did take some time and say, let's go out and see if we can't figure this out. And there were problems because it was a low rainfall year. There were some other problems. And basically, the department still came back and said, yes, that there were tests that were done that Merrymeeting Bay did, but that their test still didn't come back to say the same thing, basically. The other big problem with this is it's not just those with financial interest, but there are non-point source problems with the tributaries coming into the river. So even if the mills change their practices, my understanding is we would still probably not be able to attain Class B quality because of the problems we have upstream with the non-point source, especially the farms and things that are going into the river. But I don't know. Others, Representative Ayotte and Representative and Senator Saviola.
Senator Boyle's going to go first.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was wondering, I don't think the board would take sides on competing interests. And it says here the board did not recommend an upgrade. I really don't think that the board are made up of professional people. I really think they're made up of professional people who will not take sides in competing interests, and they will give the facts according to what the chemistry, delivers. So I think if I would have faith in the board in this case, and maybe following year or following years, but you know, try again, and maybe the river will be cleaned up to a better extent.
And was my recollection that the river doesn't meet Class B now, that it was aspirational, or to some, I think that was part of it, or at least that's what I, that was what some of the testimony. We want to get there, right, right. And so that was my comment. Or, yeah.
Having been involved, my turn, involved in water classifications, you need thousands of points, not 750. You need like 30,000 points. You need to do it under all water conditions. That's why DEP is able to take the samples they take and model it. We went through this before, and I said it the last time, 750 samples is not enough at all to reclassify a river. And I don't care if it's even 1,000, it's still not enough. But this is why, and we have, and Mickey's smiling back there, but we together have gone around, and not well, prior to that, for me dealing with modeling. So we tried this. If you're going to do this, you need to buy monitors, and you need to put them out there. They need to be there so that they're 24 hours a day, so that you can't cherry pick the data. You can't have it when it's nice out and the water's moving and it's turbulent. Well, you need it out there when it's low flow. I remember in the testimony we were told that that doesn't matter when we had the department chair come up and tell us that that does matter. So nice try, keep working, but we're not, I can't go there.
Yes,
we have someone here, I believe, from the Mirror Meeting Bay Group. Was it possible to have him come up? I'd just like to ask a question I believe it's this gentleman over here. You're with Friends of Mirror Meeting Bay?
Yeah, I'm Ed Friedman, Chairman of Friends of Mirror Meeting Bay.
Could you just clarify some of the quality of the data that you got, the stuff about hydropower acceptance and things like that, about the testing done in this area of the river, Lower Inchtoagan?
Sure. One of the points that is on your yellow sheet here about aquatic life and narrative criteria. I'm not giving new testimony. I'm clarifying as the representative. Clarifying. I want to clarify, and I actually sent an email to folks yesterday that there's concerns here on the part of the hydropower industry about their livelihood and what they do, and that vis-a-vis aquatic life and narrative criteria, the state recognizes the value of hydropower and makes an exemption on those issues for impoundment areas, such that if you have a Class B impoundment, yet the macroinvertebrates are typical of Class C waters, that's deemed to have met the Class B standard for that purposes. Special exemption for hydropower impoundments. So, I would. Well, the yellow sheet just says that there's just states the criteria. In what I sent you last night, and in the report, which I dropped this report, a hard copy of this, off to you within a couple of days of public hearing, and I don't think anyone's looked at it, but I sent you an email link to it, and I sent you an email copy. But the citation is in there. It's section 464-10 that talks about those exemptions.
Further question, Representative Chipman?
I guess the only other thing is about the inflated license limits. Could you speak to that?
Yeah, well, actually, Senator Saville asked me about that last time. I made a statement saying that license limits were considerably higher than actual discharges, and you said that was quite an accusation, and could I back that up? And I did. And I have that information for you folks, so I'd be happy to go over it. In my mind, it's a little bit irrelevant because we shouldn't be confusing relicensing and reclassification. But this does speak to the issue I brought up, that when we look at standards for relicensing, that in fact, in most cases, the dischargers are not discharging anywhere near what they are licensed to, and what they're licensed to is the standard they are held to in a relicense. But again, that's not the one used for reclass. And as I said before, our data go back, in some cases, to 2002 and show that in the course of normal business as usual, we're meeting a standard. So if everyone has that, I'll just explain how to read this. It's a little hard to... In the first column, it's a monthly average, and then it's an actual and a license. So if you
can I get an estimate of how long this might take before you go through the whole chart?
I'm not going to go through the whole chart.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to give you an example of how to read
it. Okay, thank you.
So just as an example, monthly average, these are different parameters on the left side, flow, biological oxygen demand, total suspended solids, in some cases E. coli. So you've got, I've got a number, the first numbers you see that in the first row would be 2-3.85, right? So 2 is the actual discharge in million gallons per day. 3.85 is the license limit. Going over to the right there is two percentage numbers.
The number you show there, that number, the 3.85, what's that based on?
That's based on the limits that DEP sent me.
Based on what, though? Well, how did they come up with that limit?
How did DEP come up with that limit?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that.
Well, it's pretty easy. They come up with that limit because that's a C classification. So what would it be if it was B? So if we classified that B, what would be the BOD discharge?
I don't know the answer to that.
It would be zero, because they just explained to us that you cannot have any discharges to be in compliance with the license numbers. These numbers that you're giving to us, the 963, are based on C criteria. If you made it B criteria,
those numbers would change.
They would be zero, because they just told us they would, if I remember correctly, is they would go away, and they still would not meet the criteria. So you're right. There is percent differences here, but you're misconstruing it. Let Mickey come up and explain this to you. Basically, this number, not so everybody knows it, like solids or BOD, the 963 is based on the modeling, based on a river being classified as a C criteria. They work hard to get it less than that. They always do. It's a goal that every company on a river, any place, does that. In turn, what Mickey explained to you is that if everybody went away, we still would have a Class C river. If everybody left, because of just what you described, of the non-point sources.
That's a license limit. That's not the actual conditions. And if you notice to the right of that, there's 2% numbers. First number, 31%, if we go to the second line. That's the percent of the limit that the actual number is. And then the second number is the buffer, essentially. The license limit is almost 70% higher than what is actually being discharged. So that's how you read this.
Okay. So. Further questions, Representative Chipman? Okay. And
I mean, I'd like to see some productivity on this issue. I grew up in this area. This river's come a long way. Mr. Friedman, would it be helpful if we were to, I don't know what the committee thinks, but if we were to turn this into some kind of a resolve instead, would you be willing to work together with DEP to agree on some testing standards that we could do some new tests and have everybody on the same page with this and come back with something that might work in terms of getting this river classified in a better way? I mean, is there too much disagreement with them? Do you think that wouldn't work? I'm just kind of wondering if there's some room for agreement.
Well, we're happy to cooperate, but as I think a couple of people said, we've sort of been there before. I will point out that there's two more years of data that we've collected with no violations since the DEP was out there in 2010, and I'll also point out that we work in cooperation with the DEP on our monitoring, and our standards were retrained every year by them as well as the EPA certified. So,
I asked the question before, did you do it at 7Q10?
And we have done it at low flow conditions?
7Q10.
That's irrelevant, sir.
That is not irrelevant.
Well, we disagree on that, I guess.
As read the law.
I have.
Representative Campbell, I saw your hand up. Yeah, go ahead.
I guess I could just a general question. It appears, and without having any background or history, that this has all been done before. I think there's been the cooperation, and I admire Ben for suggesting it, but our chair has mentioned that she's been through this several times, and it appears that DEP has been through it several times with them. And before the senator spoke about the commercial influence actually going away, it still wouldn't come close. And I guess my question is of somebody, you know, how far apart is the data, the present status of this river, and what they'd like to change it to?
If
somebody could answer.
Yeah, if there's someone from the department that could come up, I think that would be an appropriate time.
Yeah.
Jump in. Looks like the commissioner left, so here it's on. Oh, there she is.
She's
hiding behind Steve this time.
She could leave. Thank you, Mr.
Just Cameron. Was standing very still. I apologize. You didn't want to be up there anyway. Thank you, Mr. Coons.
Yeah, my name is Michael Coons. I'm the director of the Bureau of Land and Water Quality, and I heard about 10 different questions.
Yeah, if you would start with Representative Campbell's last and then go from there.
Oh,
you want him to repeat, or?
I guess, yeah, how far apart are we at present status and request or interest or hopefulness?
For this to be a Class B?
Yeah.
Yeah. As I said at the public hearing, this is very high-quality seawater, and a lot of times during the year it does meet Class B. Unfortunately, we have to measure water quality compliance during 7Q10 low flow conditions. And I don't know if you're familiar with that term, 7Q10, but it's basically the lowest flow week that will occur in 520 weeks, a 10-year period. So it can't just be near low flow or close to it. We have to measure compliance at that legally defined point. So at current situation, as our analyst did, it still will not meet Class B, even if several of the discharges were removed from the water. So that's
by little, by a lot.
Well, at the expense of an awful lot of money, like the senator said, we could not issue licenses. It's right on that borderline between Class B and Class C. Unfortunately, fortunately, water quality standards have to be met at every place in the river, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It just can't be most of the time. Our standards are minimums, not averages.
And then to go back to President Chipman's point, how much cooperation and involvement has occurred in the past?
Well, the issue is not with the data that the Friends of Merrymeeting Bay have provided. As a matter of fact, they give it to the department, we QAQC it, and we actually enter our databases. But as was mentioned, that those measurements weren't taken consistently as 7Q10 conditions. I mean, we could go out there right now and it probably meets Class B. But you go out there The trouble with 7Q10, we don't know when it's going to happen to go out and measure it. You have to predict what the conditions will be. So that's why we do the water quality monitoring. That's why we gather all the data that was mentioned to calibrate and then verify that mathematical model. And according to that mathematical model, the Androscoggin River, the lower Androscoggin, does not meet Class B all the time, everywhere in the water column. And also, just so you know, we also measure 13 different hydrological segments along that stretch. It's just not one location. It's several locations down the river.
Seeing a flurry of hands, and actually, well, I had Representative McGowan, I think, and then Grant, and then Reed, and Chipman.
Could you
yes.
explain that 7Q10 again in terms of, I heard you say something about the lowest flow rate in 10 years?
Seven consecutive days, lowest flow, that the lowest flow week that's going to happen in a 10-year period. It's a statistically derived number.
So in the past 10 years, this is the lowest flow rate?
Again, it's a statistically derived number. We don't know when 7Q10 is going to happen, so we go out and model it. We gather data when it's close to low flow, because that usually happens every summer in July and August, when the water's warm, and that's a worst case scenario we call. And we then do hydrological data. We have water gauges all over the state that we then use that data to predict where that what the number will be for that low flow number, that 7Q10 number. And that's the flow we use to measure compliance. When the water's the warmest and the low flow is the lowest. It's a requirement in law that we do that.
Thank you.
Representative Grant, I think, was next. I'm trying to bounce. Okay. Representative Reed.
Trying to get an idea of what you mean when you say lower Androscoggin, where the testing's happening. Is that below the dam? Is it above the dam or some mix?
It was the whole stretch, whatever the legislature asked that the department review, and I believe it was the lower length of this body of water.
So it's from the dam down, because you talked about
whatever the statute describes, that length of river, the lower Androscoggin.
Because you talked about a lot of seed water, and the seawater wouldn't be above the dam, obviously. It would be everything below that.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
Representative Reed.
Are there any parts of the Androscoggin that meet Class B classifications?
Good question. I don't believe so. Very upper, above the major discharges, yes.
But not consistently? No one part meets
But they're Class B upstream, yes.
Okay.
Way up near the Canadian border kind of thing? Or above
New Hampshire border.
Yeah, I'm sorry, New Hampshire. Yeah.
One of those.
I didn't answer another question about cooperating. As I said, we do accept Mary Meeting Bay's data they do collect, but as I said, as I understand it, I don't know how many locations they monitor at, but I know it's every other week for a period of time during the summer, and it's always before 8 o'clock in the morning. Typically, you see, I mean, those are good parameters, but you need a deeper set of data than that to run the models that we do.
Well, let me get back to, in the interest of time and the bills we still have ahead, I'm interested in formulating your final questions and looking back at the language in front of us is relatively straightforward. Not that all the issues are, but we have delved into them both at the public hearing and today. So, questions really. Any further questions? Seeing none. Seeing one or two. Yes, Representative Chipman.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you ask the question, and then we'll see, if we can get an answer. Break the cycle?
Yeah. Could he just clarify the statutory differences on what we're just talking about?
No, I don't follow the question.
All right, we'll just move on. That's fine.
Okay, Representative McGowan?
And I guess the question would have been for the gentleman who was just up from the DEP. What is it that you would say to the citizens group about how to move forward? I mean, I'm new to this conversation. I can feel the tension in this room. I can feel the impatience on the part of Senator Saviello. So I know there's some story here that...
I have to go. I want to do the climate change before
I go. You can go.
He's teaching a class.
I got to teach a class tonight.
So, I just... Any group of citizens who comes forward, who's putting an effort, who has an aspiration, I want them to leave with some sense of a path forward or a possibility to that they can work towards instead of feeling like they're working against. And so that's basically my question, and I would appreciate if the gentleman from could
I know that I get what you're saying, that I think I do, to summarize. You want the department to work with the group in particular. I mean, you're framing it as citizens, but that's what you're looking for.
I particularly want somehow for us to respond to this group of constituents about how, where's the opportunity for them to work forward instead of feeling like they're in a cycle of frustration.
Okay, but that may not be with the legislature or with this committee. So we could ask, I did get the sense, and Mr. Friedman even said the department has worked with them and did go back out in 2010. I would like them to, I concur, there should be, collaboration. And, I don't know that we need the department back up here to tell us that they will or have been collaborating with not only this group but other groups. Representative Campbell. Microphone.
I'm sorry.
I guess I just kind of feel, I think we all feel that way, that we'd like to help clean up the river, but I think it's beyond us, and I don't think a piece of legislation stating that it should be upgraded is actually going to do the deed.
Right.
And I'm assuming that if it's not commercial contribution, and if it's tributaries, then the focus of the group ought to be out here in these tributaries. And so I just don't think that legislation, especially if the history is that it keeps coming back, is the solution.
Yes. Representative Harlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess as someone who doesn't ask very many questions, it bothers me that Representative Chipman's question wasn't answered because he doesn't ask very many. So I just want to state
I was asking actually to... so that I could understand what the question was. I honestly didn't understand it, so. Oh, okay, thank you.
I think what Chipman was saying is, what is the parts per million or billion bacteria that would make a river class C or make a class B? He wants to say, what are the statutory requirements that would have enabled a river to be raised from a class C to a class B? Is that what you're getting at? By obviously reducing the amount of parts per million, billion of bacteria or E. coli or whatever, and raising the oxygen, that'd be up to the.
Okay.
That would be up to him, not me.
Let's take your, yes, Mr. Friedman. Yep, take a minute, couple minutes.
Yeah, I think if you look at the data, and some of our data go back to 2002, you'll see that virtually all the time. We, in fact, meet those Class B bacteria standards and oxygen standards. I think the question is, and the real crux is, that we have a fundamental difference, we and the Conservation Law Foundation and other environmental groups, with the interpretation of the statutes. And Section 464.4F is a statute that governs classification. Section 464.4D governs relicensing. 4D deals with the 7Q10 standard that the DEP uses with classification. We disagree with that. So that's the problem with the cycle here. We'll never meet the standard at 7Q10. It's impossible. So the point of the Clean Water Act and statute, which is why it's goal-oriented, is to say when you get close to that next level, you should upgrade. That will trigger a slight improvement in the subsequent relicensing, which is judged at 7Q10, rightly or wrongly, right now. And my point in that long sheet relates to that, is that I'm suggesting here, I'm showing you, that the license limits are really high. 7Q10 doesn't really have to be as high as it is right now. But regardless, classification is a different animal than relicensing. They do work together. Classification drives relicensing. If you didn't have that driver, the river would never improve.
Okay. So does that help? Thank you. I may have misunderstood because I really didn't understand the question, and I thank you. So,
clarify one thing, because you'd said before when you were up here something about 2 years, the last 2 years of data not being looked at. Is that, did I hear that correctly? That 2 years of testing hasn't been, the last 2 years of testing hasn't been looked at?
I'm saying that we have two more years of data since the DEP did their intensive monitoring, and in those 2 years of data, multiple points, not cherry picking, but on a certain day each month, that we show no we show no dissolved oxygen levels below the Class B standard and no bacteria levels above the Class B.
Well, so I know I'm maybe giving off the appearance of impatience because it is growing in me, and I'm the one people talk about how late we're here and how many bills we put in, so I'm speaking to the committee in the sense that I love information more than probably anybody else at the table, and I think, you know, there's a lot here that we do need to grapple with as a state. But I really feel an urgency to begin to move the question. Yes. Oh, Mike.
I think if we would pass this in legislation through this committee and put it into statute. You know, I live on a river, too. I'd like to have mine improved. I think everybody in the state would like to have this improved, and if all it took was a debate and extended work sessions, extended public hearings into work sessions to simply adjust the whole process that seems to be acceptable throughout the state, we'd be here forever working on upgrading rivers. So, as you mentioned, I think it would be nice to move the question.
All those in favor of ought not to pass? 1, 2, 3. Well, I guess Katie's getting it. Keep them up until Katie releases you, please. Thank you. Those opposed? Minority report?
I would say about to pass. Except would you?
If you can, yeah.
Forgive me. I haven't heard all the specifics. I'd like you to go over this all again.
You know, I was waiting for that.
So there's no...
Put your hand right there.